She's a good time gal. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Good Time Gal. I am your host, Caitlin Palufo. Thank you so much for tuning in. Holy smokes. This one is a fun episode. It's with Micah Fox. She is so funny. She's a writer for Comedy Central. She's hilarious, dark, twisted, grumpy, everything I wish I could be. She's fantastic, very quick. And this episode is one of the reasons I started doing this podcast in the first place. I know a lot of ladies out there who have had some crazy drunken nights that sometimes turn into a sexual nature. And sometimes we hold a lot of shame about those nights, those wild nights. And I've done it. I've done things and not told anyone, and then finally told somebody and felt a lot better and realized that we've all had those experiences. We've all made those mistakes. Men, women, doesn't matter. We've all been, you know, a drunk idiot and been a little nuts. And it's funny. She's so funny. And she just, she's a blast. So you're really going to enjoy this episode. Please rate, review, tell a friend. It really helps us on iTunes if you do that. And follow me, follow the pod, follow Micah at Micah Fox on Instagram and Twitter. Her Twitter is insanely funny. She's very smart. And I am not nearly as good, but you can follow me there anyway, at Caitlin Palufo. And and the pod at Good Time Gal Pod. Do that. I have memes on there occasionally. Very fun. I'm really selling myself here. Anywho, this podcast is great. It's everything I love about this podcast. And enjoy, please enjoy Micah Fox. Give her a follow. Give her a watch. She's great. Thank you. Yeah, I'm recording.
Did we start?
Yeah, we started.
Great.
But yeah, she's the light of my life. And if anything ever happened to her, I would fall apart.
I talk about that every fucking day.
Really?
Like when my cat dies, Tim is terrified. He's like, I'm just going to get you a new cat immediately. I'm like, no.
Yeah. I've thought about her death more than I've thought mm-hmm. about my own.
Yeah.
And because it's like, of course, she will die in my lifetime.
Of course.
And I'm already sad.
Well, you never know. But it's the worst thing. It's why I put off getting a cat for so long, because mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to love it too much. And then it's going to die on me. I had one of my childhood friends, one of my oldest friends, died this week.
Oh, my God.
And I looked at my cat and I was like, thank God it wasn't you. I know it's like, I'm a monster. I don't know what to say. I'm like, yeah, how did I value a cat's life over like one of the people who shares my oldest memories? I don't, like, it's fucked up, but.
Oh. I was like, are you okay?
Oh, I'm fine. The cat's, because the cat's alive.
I mean, like, I get it.
Like, people are checking in on me. They're like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I guess, you know, we're all going to go sometime, you know? But like, when Togo's like, fucking. You have to scrape me off the shower.
Your cat's name is Toe?
Toe.
Of course it is.
Well, her, I didn't change her name from the, you know, from the rescue. She had brothers Tick and Tack.
Oh my God, that's cute.
And they got adopted together and she was left all alone. And I was like, your legacy will live on.
That's so shitty of those people.
Well, from what I heard, like when you have like, oh God, your cat is being so funny.
Sorry.
When like boy, when there's only a girl, one girl in the litter, the boys will pick on it and like attack it.
Oh.
So I think that's why they got like adopted separately from each other.
Yeah. Because they would just beat up on Toe.
Yeah.
Those men are assholes.
I know. They're always, right?
Yeah.
In every fucking species, they just fuck up.
Yeah.
I know. Just bad instincts all the time.
We're talking to you, fellas.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah. What percentage of your listenership are men?
I think I'm straight down the middle.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Uh-huh. I look at my logistics and it's straight down the middle.
I didn't mean you personally as men.
Yeah. Oh. You're talking to me.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
what gender are you? Straight down the middle. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
So, little miss, as you chug your water, you are hungover at this moment.
Woof city. What? Do you know what I did last night, which I haven't done in a very long time?
Tell me.
Fucking barfed my face off. My fucking, you know, I like it to the point where, but it's like, it's been so long since I vomited, but like my skills all came back. You know, I do, I'm one of those, I do the standing barf and just hang my, like, I just shoot for the toilet. Like, but I stand over it and I fucking nail it. I'm so like, it's been years since I've had alcohol poisoning bad enough to make me barf just right back into it. I was like, bleh, nailed it.
I bet you look good doing it.
Nailed it. Tim's like, stop. You know, she's like, go to the bed. You know, you're going to fall asleep in here. I was like, I'll do what I want.
She's an independent woman.
You know what? New cocktail.
Oh,
do not try it. It's delicious. Do not try it.
What is it?
Tequila and mango Bon Viv, mango Ooh, hard seltzer.
That's double.
It's double. Because here's the thing. I'm like, I like tequila and seltzer.
Yeah.
But we didn't have seltzer. Mm-hmm. And I was like, they're just two drinks. Just what's the difference? You know, right? So I'm just crushing them. I'm making up like cocktails, put a little lime in. I'm like, look what I've done. Don't do it, friends.
But Bon Viv is alcoholic. Seltzer.
Horribly alcohol. Yeah, it's alcoholic seltzer. It's, you know, it's White Claw. It's all that shit.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, maybe it was a different brand. It could have been Corona. I don't know. I have them all mixed up in the fridge. I don't care. I'm not loyal.
So Tim had a friend over?
Tim's a childhood, like, friend, you know, like one of those things, like our parents are friends and we grew up hanging, you know, doing all the family shit together. One of those. And him and his girlfriend came by.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah.
At least you weren't alone. Were you the only one that puked?
Well, in my house, honestly, like, his girlfriend was real cool. We got along. I was going to text her this morning being like, babe, are you okay? You know, like, because I just fucking barfed my brains out like 10 minutes after you walked out the door. So, but I didn't text her because I was like, is that TMI? I felt like she's like younger than me and cooler than me. So I didn't want to like seem too desperate. How when do I stop worrying that I'm lame? I'm like so old. Get over it.
The least lame person I know. And I'm saying that wearing a Monsters, Inc. shirt. But Monsters, Inc. That's Mike Wazowski crying.
That's
cum.
So funny.
He's crying cum. That's what Mike.
I only saw Monsters, Inc. for the first time like 2 weeks ago. And I bought the shirt before that. So I don't know if it is one.
It's very fun. You're the only person who can pull off baby blue sweatpants.
Thank you.
A Mike Wazowski shirt and a cap of some college.
Just California, baby.
That's it?
See, I found, you know,
California.
Are you a baseball hat fan? Are you a ball cap fan? I love a ball cap.
I have a few ball caps, but they're not a staple.
If you're ever in LA, I fucking forget the name of it, but it's like the Chinatown of LA, but it's like it's in the fashion district and they have like all the cheap Chinese crap, but so it's like, you know, Canal Street, but better because it's like less.
Okay.
I don't know. It's like,
I don't know LA too well, but I don't want to be offensive and say something and be like, that's not it. You know?
Yeah, no. But they have like, I got like something like 5 hats for $20 something. They ended up being like, I don't know, $3 or $4 a hat.
Uh-huh.
This is part of my whore haul. That's what you call it, a haul.
A whore haul.
I was going to say a hoard. And then I remembered they're called
hauls. I like
halls.
Whore haul. That's better.
A whore haul. Holy shit. That's
that was me in my 20s.
Uh-huh. There it is. There she goes.
We're having fun.
Yeah. There she goes.
So, Micah, where are you from?
Oh, Arizona, baby.
Are you... are you sure?
I know. I know. I just reek of Eastern sophistication. I know.
Yeah. I would get East Coast from you.
You know, the day I moved here, people thought that. Like,
yeah.
The day I moved to New York, I was like, I am home. Cause
same.
I'm just like, I'm like, I'm rude and I, you know, I'm blunt, you know, and like, you know, really smarter than everybody. And I just felt like I belonged in New York my whole life. And yeah.
So what was it like in Arizona? Where in Arizona? Flagstaff? That's the only.
That's a city. Yeah, you named one.
I did it.
Good job. I'm from Scottsdale, which is, you know, the bragging rights from Arizona.
Really?
It's the affluent town.
Oh, okay.
It's, you know, it's the affluent part, like outside of Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know it, it's like anyone who knows of Scottsdale went golfing there or like went on a corporate retreat there and stayed at a fancy hotel or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Were you cool growing up?
You know, in retrospect, I think I was very cool, but in actuality, I had not a lot of friends. The friends I did have were, to quote my mom, weird.
Oh, you had a weird group. Huh?
Not a group. A group sounds good. I would have killed for a group.
Yeah.
I was like, I was one of those people that was like, oh, maybe I'll sit with this group today. Maybe I'll sit, but like, you know what I mean? Just not to look alone.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, Jesus.
But none of the people that would have, okay, this is how cool I was. You be the judge. I joined marching band to make friends.
Okay. Yeah.
That'll are we there?
I needed now.
I needed to get the marching band guys on my side. That's where I was. I was starting from below.
Yeah.
Worked my way up. They didn't really ever accept me either.
No.
No.
Those fuckers. I know. Marching band. What would you play in marching band?
I was in the pit. I didn't march. The pit is the like. It's not quite percussion. I didn't have drums. I wasn't that cool. So I played like the marimba. Can you know that person with the fucking mallets? Because I learned piano growing up. And so I was like, well, I know this keyboard. I can figure this out. And then I played the chime. The triangle. Oh, yeah. Sometimes I'd hit that triangle pretty good. I was that. Like the outcast of the marching.
The marimba player of the marching band.
And like, you know, okay, so it's like Arizona. Let me set the scene. You know, it's like heavy polyester like marching band outfits. And I'm just pushing this giant wooden fucking keyboard thing out onto a field in like 110 degree weather. Did my marching band costume smell? Yes. First thing everybody asks, how bad did you smell? A lot.
That's a question to ask?
No, I'm
okay.
I'm doing your job too. I don't know why.
Oh, thank you. No, I appreciate it. God help me. So you moved on up from marching band. Yeah. Where did you end up? Senior year. Were you party girl?
Senior year, I did have a comeback. Okay. That was my one cool year. Your cat is truly losing it.
She's fat shit. She'll calm down. She'll go into the window and calm down.
God,
she just got
her.
So excited about the marching band.
I love it. She's like, what a nerd.
Yeah. Dork, I'm going behind you. I can't even look at you anymore.
I don't blame her. I smell back that way too, Kat. I smell so bad. I'm so sorry.
I can't smell you at all. We have this wonderful candle.
Great. Light a candle. Mike is coming over. Senior year, no, I had a comeback.
Okay.
We went to Scotland to be part of the Edinburgh Festival with the musical. Like, that's, hello. Okay. Just
crawled. God damn it,
she's
Bowie.
So cute, though. Okay. I was cool there. Like, there were a bunch of other high schools there. And so, like, I was just like, I'm just going to make, I just made friends with a different high school and, like, had a really cute guy into me and, like, had, like, all these friends. And so, like, you know, it gave me a lot of confidence. So I came back being like, fuck everyone else. It turns out you guys are all losers.
Yeah.
And I know what's up, right? Yeah. In my head, I was like, I'll just fucking own my lonerness.
Yeah.
And, you know, people really respond to that. People really respond to why isn't the bullying working. So, like, I was nominated for prom queen.
What?
I was in, you know, like, I had, like, one of those, what is it? Not exemplaries, but, like, when you're, like, voted most likely to's. I had one of those in the yearbook.
What were you?
Most likely to have my own TV show.
Oh, for sure.
Pretty cool, right? I was like, well, all right.
Did that spark something?
So yeah. Close enough.
Yeah, you're pretty close. You're on the track, baby.
You got to see this Old Spice commercial, baby. Does that count? You got to see this apartments.com gig I just fucking blew.
You did? Good job.
I'm in editing right now.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Bowie, you are intense.
I love it.
You're so much. You say hello. Oh, she just licked the microphone. Okay. Do you want to? Okay. She's nuts. Anyway.
This is why this needs to be a video show so everyone else can join.
I like that you asked me this morning, is it video? And I'm like, no, come as dirty as you want. And you're like,
it's so funny.
Great.
It's so funny you said dirty because that's exactly what the question was. It wasn't like, should I wear makeup and like do my hair, which is what I think a normal, it was truly, I'm filthy. Are people going to see that?
No, no one's going to see it. Just Bowie. She'll judge the shit out of you. Oh. Get it. Oh, there she goes. Okay, hopefully she'll calm down. So on this trip, I'm curious, did you drink in Edinburgh?
It was, yeah, it was my first time because you can drink at 18 there. Mm-hmm. So I was, what, 17?
Uh-huh.
So I was just getting fucking hammered. You know, they're not checking IDs or anything. Yeah. So it was my first time, like, drinking outside of, like, you know, someone's house or my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I got fucking hammered. It was the first time I ever got the spins.
Oh, no.
Was in London, maybe Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Edinburgh.
Oof. Yeah.
Oh yeah. What was I drinking there? I was drinking ciders, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think because I wasn't. Beer was gross.
Yes.
Hard liquor, I couldn't really do. I was a vodka girl. Mm-hmm. You know, vodka and Mountain Dew was my first drink.
Jesus
That's
Christ.
Arizona.
I just got a headache just from that.
So,
oh my God.
You know, having trash cocktails is in my blood. So, but I think I was drinking hard ciders that trip.
Yeah.
I think that was the move because they were sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Did you kiss the boy?
Oh, God. This is an embarrassing story, actually.
Please.
I don't think I've ever told anybody this. it's so embarrassing, but I'm ready to share. So, okay. So he was into me, but I was like very, very nervous. You know, mm-hmm. I'd only had one kiss before that. And it was like one of those ones where like my best friend like made some guy kiss me. And it was like, we were like 15 and it was like disgusting, you know.
Yeah.
What I mean? He like slobbered all over me and like pushed me against his mom's car, and I'm like, while she was waiting for us to go home, I'm like, what? Ew. Right. And he was like a moron. So like, so up until that point, you know, like all my, you know, like, but I was the type to get like huge crushes and things like that, but
uh-huh.
like I didn't with people that like weren't right for me because it's like I wasn't ready.
Yeah.
So that's it. So this guy was cute and he really liked me, but it was like too intense. I was like too scared. He was like trying to kiss me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes in for this kiss. It's like the last day. And I just go, no, 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 no. Like I scream, no, 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 like that, right? Isn't that crazy? And like legit ran away. Ran away. He runs after me, right? I still feel bad about this. Runs after me. He's like, Micah, it's like raining. It's Edinburgh. It was like cinematic. He's like, Micah, wait, come back. I ran. I went to go see like a play because, you know, there was all these plays going on or whatever. Like, I just couldn't. It was like everything I wanted was like this cute boy who's into me and blah, blah, blah. But I was just so fucking scared of like what would happen. I still to this day, I'm like, what was I scared of? I just wasn't ready. I just wasn't ready.
Yeah. You're 17 year old Micah.
That's pretty old for like being scared of a kiss, but
no, I don't think so. I'm the type of person, if I get scared of something, I'll just do it anyway and then regret it later. Mm. So maybe you're the opposite end.
Oh no, no. I've done that too. Oh no, no.
Like, this is a terrible idea. I don't think I should do this. Let's give it a try.
Oh yeah. Cause you know, as life is short. I got one of those like life is short things screaming in the back of my head all the time, constantly getting me to do bad shit, you know.
Well, maybe that's the seed that mm-hmm. made you live that way now. It's just like, I'll never have another, what was his name?
James.
I'll never have another James again.
I think it was James.
I'll kiss every man in the rain now.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I wrote him some long note and slipped under his door, but I don't know if he ever got it and had my phone number. And for years, I was like, I want to find this guy again. Why? I was scared, you know, who knows?
Yeah. Oh, Micah, love and regret right here.
Uh-huh.
Well, things turned out okay. You got Tim.
Fucking Tim.
If you don't know, Tim McLaughlin.
McLaughlin.
McLaughlin is a sweet angel. A little rough around the edges, I would say.
Oh.
Midwestern boy.
Yeah, oh yeah. But that's what we love. That's what you got to like about Tim. You know, is no bullshit. He's a very sweet man.
Yeah. I got to get him on here. He's probably got a tail or two.
He's great on a podcast. He's great. You just wind him up and let him go.
Yeah, he seems the type.
Mm-hmm. Very
I've never
funny man.
Laughed
funny.
Harder than when he's just a little bit drunk and making fun of everybody around him.
Just mean. He's just mean. I think that's what we connected on.
Yeah, you guys seem very two peas in a pod.
We're very much the same. It was like, I don't know if it was like love at first sight because I didn't recognize him the first three times I met him because he's very average looking, but He probably introduced himself like three good times before I fucking, but like personality wise, it was like we were homies from the jump.
Yeah.
You know, and then I just settled.
My gosh. You can't say that about the man you love.
I know I said like, oh, I get these huge crushes and blah, blah, blah. But this was like, this was just like the easy friendship that, you know, he's like, I love him. You know what I mean? I haven't stopped fucking him. So like, what's the problem?
You know, and you enjoy the fucking?
We still have a nice time there. You know what I mean? He's a real Midwestern like man when it comes. There's no frills. It's like, you know what I mean? Don't go near his asshole. Fine. Like, you know. Fine, but you know, he does what he does good. So good.
That's all you need.
That's all you need. If you take a shower, he'll eat you out, you know. You know, you gotta put in the work.
Tim! Oh, stuff I never thought I'd know about Tim. He needs a clean puss, huh?
Oh yeah. Oh, he does not, you know. You know what I mean? He's not just like, let me in there. That's not him.
I love your relationship now. I love it more than ever.
It's easy. It's real easy. We get, you know, there's no mysteries.
How long have you been together?
Like a year and a half now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems to be going strong. You guys moved in together.
Moved in. That's good. You know, it's a quarantine move, but it's a quarantine move. But, you know, it's fine.
I've never heard anyone be so honest when describing their relationship, and I don't know if it's just you or the fact that you're hungover.
Well, I think I'm at my peak personality when I'm hungover because it vibes with my general cause.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is like, I don't give a fuck, Itsville. I think I'd be, I'm not going to romanticize my relationship with Tim. Like, and, you know, it's Tim.
Would you marry him?
What's the point?
Does he want to get married?
No. I don't know. He has free health insurance from his dad's company. He's like an employee of his dad and gets health insurance from that, you know. What a fucking heartthrob. And he was like, "Oh, I'll marry you to give you my dad's health insurance." I'm like, "Shouldn't we ask your dad?" This is like the one time we have to ask the man's father for permission. It's like, "Can we milk off your Is it cool if she milks off your health insurance plan?"
That's the only reason you would get married to Tim.
Well, otherwise I have to get a prenup, you know.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
He's bad with money and I
What are you talking about?
Oh, baby. Oh, baby, is he bad? And I'm a Jew, so, you know, opposites attract.
I love it. You guys, like, when I found out you guys were together, I was like, oh, that's perfect.
It's so
what a hurricane.
That's what everyone's, they're just like, oh, right. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I get, yeah. It's yeah. Like exactly. Like, oh, right. Yeah. That actually.
That's a fun couple right there.
No one gets their feelings hurt. It's no. Great.
It's beautiful. And a funny couple. Yeah. Very, like, you guys bring the party. Thanks. Very funny.
Thank you. We went to a party once where the people who went thought we were paid to entertain the party.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because we just showed up and got drunk and were obnoxious and we didn't really know anybody. And so we're just like being rude and obnoxious. But it was, you know, showboating.
Yeah.
But they had a good time.
Well, there you go. And I mean, what else are you going to do? You have the comic thing in you and then you don't know anybody. Who gives a shit?
Right.
Have a good time.
You're having a good. And everyone's just fucking like, you know, it's like people with like fedoras with like feathers in their hats. And
oh,
like all
gross.
This, you know, just like showy shit where I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter what we do here.
Yeah. Too much. Right. It's too much. We're too much. You were in a fucking fedora.
Okay. You want to know, actually, now that I'm like busting, that the person who was wearing that fedora with the feather in the hat was in fucking Hamilton.
What?
The big guy.
The like, big guy.
He's like the bigger guy. You know, brop, it's a butter. You know what I'm talking about?
Never stop rapping.
He's like, brop, it's a whatever. That's the only part I can think of.
I can picture him. I don't know his
name.
And
then I think he was also in the second half. He's the Madison.
Oh, okay. That's who Madison. He was the heftier fella.
The big guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's kind of famous.
But I had no idea. I'd never seen Hamilton. I hadn't even heard the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Right. So Tim recognized him. But afterwards, he's like,
that's a curveball.
Tim, okay, I know we're spending this whole time talking about Tim, but he loves musicals. And I think that is something that is so, and he's the biggest fucking nerd. Like, it's so wild. He loves musicals. He's seen them all. He knows the soundtracks to them all. Like, he's not like, it's not like a secret gay thing. He just, because he's
like,
you like what you like.
He's not going to be ashamed if he likes musicals. I feel like, no.
He likes musicals. He likes manga.
What's manga?
Like Japanese, like comic strips.
Oh, okay.
Anyway. So he's a fucking nerd, you know, now the secret's out.
I love it. I'll make fun of him later. Yeah. Where did you go to college?
UC Irvine, California.
Nice.
Is that, do you know of it?
Nobody I know of it. I went to UCSD.
Oh, the better UC.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
I wanted to go to UCSD so bad.
I'm so sorry.
I only applied to Irvine because the UC schools, you fill out one application and then you just pay an extra $40 for each school.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm so lazy, so like the laziest person, I only applied to one school besides like in-state, which is a bubble sheet, right?
Yeah.
In Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the UC system. And I applied to San Diego, Santa Barbara, Santa Cruz, and Irvine. And the only one I got into was Irvine, and I went.
Yeah. I got into San Diego because I was recruited for the soccer team.
God bless you.
I know. That was the, I wasn't
Did you
smart
enjoy
enough.
It there? Was it good?
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. It was very sheltered.
Yeah.
Very.
Same thing with Irvine.
Yeah.
Very sheltered.
Very sheltered, very white.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize when I moved to New York how sheltered and nice it was. And then I was so grateful to not be there anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Where are you from?
San Francisco.
Oh, okay. Right. So you're from a real city and then you didn't, but you
well,
didn't
Well, I was from suburbia.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and San Bruno, mm-hmm. it's where the airport is. It's a very working class, rugged, pretty diverse community, which is nice. And then going to San Diego, it was so white.
Yeah.
And then to New York, I was like you said, I was like, oh, I'm home.
This is where
I should be. Yeah. And I've been here for over 10 years now.
I think that's like true. There are some people who come to New York and they're like, I will never live here. And they just feel it in their bones. And then mm-hmm. there are other people who are like, this is my home forever. And mm-hmm. there's something so polarizing about the city that way that I find fascinating. I'm like, mm-hmm. it really makes me believe like people aren't all the same.
Yeah. Yeah, we are all different, right. aren't we?
You, because you kind of want to be like, oh, you know, under the right circumstances, we all know people have like strong personality cores. And mm-hmm. I think New York susses it out.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Ooh, this hangover is
You're
coming
doing great.
Back.
You look great. Oh, yeah. Swallow that pill, baby. Uh-huh. So, Irvine, did you find friends? Were you cool, Micah Fox?
Well, I was cool in that I ran the college's improv team.
Oh!
Which was, I know that is very nerdy, right?
No, we loved our improv team in college. Everybody loves improv in college.
Yeah, so. It was like one of those things where it's like, it was, I think, every other Friday night or every Friday night, I don't even remember. And, you know, 300 people would come every show mm-hmm. and there was like lines out the door.
Yeah.
It was like one of the few things to fucking like do and, mm-hmm. you know, a place to like be obnoxious. And
yeah.
So I was cool in that sense.
Yeah.
But like, you know, like I was... There were no parties going on, like, because it was, like, the theater, it was, like, theater kid adjacent, but I wasn't in the theater program, so I wasn't really in with those guys. So, like, the hang was just, like, me and my improv buddies and my couple of roommates that I met my freshman year. There wasn't, like, party.
Yeah. But did you get a little weird?
Weird how?
Like
lesbian? No. Or, like, drunk?
Just for the note, lesbianism is not weird.
Oh, sorry. Well, you said it's weird.
Micah does not represent the views of this podcast.
Let me clarify. It's weird for me because I'm not one, but I did lesbian shit anyway. So, like, when you like that is weird. Like, when you're behaving outside of your like.
I see.
Right?
I see.
I don't think it's weird to be a lesbian. It's weird for me to be a lesbian.
Okay. What happened there?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, nothing. Just like probably making out for the attention of men.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And like a couple threesomes for the exact same reason. Bragging rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, attention of men.
Was that all in college?
No, I did a few threesomes all the way in after I moved into New York. And it was always the same thing. It was more of that like life is short. Let's fucking bank this story.
James!
Yeah.
Every man was James.
No, I mean, you know. I don't know. I think like I was never, you know, like sex for me is never just like, it wasn't very romantic for a long time. So I'm like, it was more like for sport.
Yeah.
You know.
Like you're a hunter.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. 100%. Like, yeah, I'm going to like capture this prey and drag it home and eat it.
I like how you say drag.
Yeah, drag it home. You know, I wonder. I would pursue people to the point where it's like if the genders were reversed, I would be kind of gross.
Really?
Oh, yeah. 100%. Fortunately, like, I mean, you know, different times.
Yeah. I know.
But also, like, I'm a 5'2" woman. Like, the physical threat was minimal. The mental threat, you know, I apologize if I made anyone uncomfortable.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. 5'2". There's a difference between 5'2" woman and a 6'4" man.
Right. Right. Like, yeah. There was no way like anyone felt physically unsafe. I didn't do anything crazy like that, you know.
Yeah.
But
you just made it awkward.
I was just like, come on, pussy. You don't want to make out with me. Shit like that.
You were a total bro wrapped in this little pint-sized body.
No, insane person. I'm not proud of it. You know, these are drunk decisions as well. Like,
yes.
These are not sober.
Mm-hmm.
Sober me talking. Pussy. What are you, fucking pussy? Just totally bullying men into like, oh, sleeping with me. Horrendous.
No,
but they do. So
they do. So you're doing fine.
Not a cute look. You know, you know. That's not like something like a sexy girl does.
No. And I get that completely. Yeah. Like I have jokes about making the first move and it's like I make the first move because I have to.
Right.
Like I'm a big bitch and I'm loud and I am, when I'm drunk, I'm just like, I want that.
Yeah. Similar energy. Mm-hmm. My whole life I was always just like, if I were a guy, I would be fucking macking on girls 24/7. You know, like not like girls, but you know what I mean? Because I had that like energy, this prey,
the prowl,
like predator. I have predator energy.
Mm-hmm. You are what you are, Micah. Is this during the time of like previously you messaged me that you had some dark tales to your
God damn. So I told them all to Tim. There's stories like I maybe told once on a podcast years ago and regretted it. And then I'm like, but they're fucked up. They're so fucked up, these stories. And super dark. And I told them to Tim real fast. I was like, shit, I'm going on Palufo's pod. And you just got to hear it from me first. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
Because I was like, people are probably, and of course, okay, so like, I'll tell you what they are in a second. Tim, the first second he gets, his friends come over last night, he's just fucking narking on me immediately. He's like, you know, okay, so I'll just tell you. So these are, drunk tales? So there's this, all right, I'll just tell. This is the worst one. I don't know what one's the worst one.
Well, how would I judge?
Okay.
I'll tell you which one's the worst.
Honestly,
one.
And these two stories happened within the same month.
Okay.
So.
How old are you?
I'm going to say I'm 25.
Okay.
And
living in New York?
I'm living in New York, but just brand new in New York. I moved, like, you know, this is my first year. Maybe it was my second, first or second year in New York, right? So maybe I'm 26. And, okay, so, fuck, this is so bad. All right, this one. I'm visiting my aunt in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And she's got cancer, right? So I'm visiting her to, like, you know,
Boost morale.
You know, she's got one of her dear friends over who's like in her 50s, I would say, and we're all getting high, you know, because we got, you know, my aunt's not a pot smoker, but she's got the cans, and why not? Let's fucking do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting high and we're talking and her friend's like pretty cool. My sister told me, she's like, oh yeah, her friend is so cool. I'm like, okay, great. And sure enough, she whispers in my ear. She's like, check out the guest bathroom, right? I go into the guest bathroom, line of coke going all down the fucking counter, right? Huge, one of the biggest lines of coke I've ever seen. And I'm like, hello, nurse. So I fucking just like, you know, blow half of it, probably like all in a row. I'm fucking ramped, right? This is not so we're doing coke behind my cancer aunt's back, right? While my cancer aunt is getting high for like maybe the first time, and I'm supposed to be like there guiding her to make sure she doesn't get all fucking tripped up. So within 10 minutes, not even, within 5 minutes of me blowing this huge line of blow, my aunt's like, well, I'm tired. Good night. Right. I'm like, okay, cool. And then as soon as she goes to bed, her friend is like, well, I have to go meet my boyfriend. So see ya. And I'm like, no, I'm fucking crazy high right now. And like, and you know what I mean? Like, I was like, I don't want to be left alone. Like, I'm going to go fucking crazy on all this blow. She's like, well, you can come with me, but you know, you'd have to be game. And I'm like, I don't know what that means, but okay, right? Because I was like, I do not want to be left alone right now.
How old is this aunt's friend?
I want to say late 40s, early 50s, okay. Right? Oh, God, I hope. So, so we drive to this house where we meet her boyfriend. Turns out this house is neither her or her boyfriend's. It's a place her boyfriend is house sitting. Right. Okay. We enter through the back because she don't like he finds the key and enters through the back like they're out of town. She's married. This isn't her husband. Right.
Oh,
this is the guy she fucks on the side. So we go in there and we're doing blow and immediately like they're just going to town. And I'm like,
like having sex,
like, yeah, like fooling around. And they're like getting me into a threesome. And I'm like, pass. And they're like, you can't really just sit and watch. So I'm like totally coerced into having a threesome with this older cup, like much older couple. Right. Right. And just like totally fucking freaked out. It was like so, but I was like, I don't know what to do now because I'm in this fucking house. I don't have a car. This is pre Uber times. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I guess like I could have used their phone to like call a car or something. Whatever. So anyway, whatever. So like I get eaten out by this fucking old lady who's my aunt's friend, like within like, you know, an hour of meeting her. And I'm supposed to be watching my aunt have cancer. I don't know. And she's like, you know, she's like, she has like all these sex toys, different set of sex toys for her and this guy. And she's like, I keep them in my wedding dress bag because my husband never goes in there. I'm like, well, that is.
Oh, Jesus.
That's symbolic, I think. So that's that story. That's a nice drug story. And then she drives me home or whatever. And it's like, I feel like dirty and shameful for the rest of my life. Okay. So
have you ever seen that woman again?
She, yes, at my aunt's funeral.
Oh,
and that was awkward. Right. Yeah. I was like, oh, right. I was like, not this time.
Yeah. How's the wedding bag?
Right. Woo. Right. Yeah. Oh my God. Super awkward. I was like, oh, I can't look at you. This is bad. And it was so weird, you know? And then I had to like, I was with my aunt for the weekend. She's like, how was your aunt? I'm like, I'm fine. Oh my God. So that's story number one, right? Then I get back to New York. Should I just keep going?
Yeah, keep going.
This fucking, God, these things. God,
you're doing great.
My family hears this. whatever. I barely talk to them. It's fine. And my aunt's dead. So what's she going to know? So then I get back into town and I'm just fucking, I'm a nightmare monster, right? Just getting trashed every night, mm-hmm. You know, like. Just 26ing it up in New York.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's how you're supposed to do New York in your 20s.
Oh, for sure.
I think New York in your 20s is just about being, like, the worst fucking flagrant party piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm, like, working and then just going straight to bars right after, getting hammed up. I go to this bar. I meet this guy who's, like, a real estate guy, and he has blow. So I'm doing blow and making out with him in the bathroom. But it's, like, it's always the guy with blow wants to do it in the bathroom and then fucking immediately start making out. I'm just, like, no, I just want your drugs.
Yeah.
I just want your drugs, right?
That's fair.
So, but the blow is so fucking good. I walk out and immediately start making out with the DJ. I don't even know if that was consensual on his part. Do you know what I mean? And so I, like, I'm trying to get more blow, and he's like, yeah. He's like, but this guy was like, let me take you to the second location. I'm like, I'm not second. There was something just like so slimy and rat faced about him where I was like, this. I just smelled rape on him. Like, you just know when mm-hmm. someone's got bad intentions, bad energy. And I was like, and so I was like, hold on, I'm going to go do another line. And I went to the bathroom, and instead I just fucking ducked out the door, right?
Good for you.
And I start sprinting, and he comes out the door after me, and he's like, hey, where are you going? And starts sprinting after me, and I'm like, this is bad.
Yes.
Right?
No.
Right? So I'm running down the streets of New York, and I went to that bar with friends. They're long gone. I'm fucking... I'm on my own journey at this point. You know what I mean? I've outdrank them. I started making out. Who knows what they thought, right? I'm in a work shirt. It's got like the name like CompuStall on it. Like there's nothing cute. Like I'm not dressed for the occasion. I've like my day job was like crawling around plugging and unplugging wires. So I'm like covered in dirt and just like just high as fuck on this good blow and running from a rapist to the point where he's like turning corners with me. You know what I mean?
Yikes.
Like, and that's just like the kind of shit when you think about it, you're like, how does that look?
Yeah.
Some guy's just running after a girl turning corners, you know. Thank God I'm a sprightly one.
Yeah.
I see a train station, D train, not my train, don't care. Go down to the train station. I'm freaking out. I'm like, did he see me go in there or whatever? I'm like, I can make the right transfers. I'll figure this out. I go in. I'm so scared at this point. I'm like starting to catch up with me that I'm like legit running away from a rapist. I see some dude. I'm like, oh my God, you got to protect me. There's this guy coming after me. If you see him, you know, like whatever, like you're with me or whatever. And I don't know how this happens next, but I am sucking his dick on the train platform because I don't know. Maybe that's like, I felt safe with him.
Right? How does that happen?
No, I don't know. I to this day, I'll never be able to explain that. It was probably like, I'll take care of you, baby. Here's my dick. And I'm like, yeah, great, great. You saved me. I'll suck your dick for say, who knows? The decision making, not my finest decision making moment. I think it's fair to blame the Coke.
I would say so.
And
yes.
The alcohol and just the general like, the adrenaline. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? The adrenaline
well, yeah,
is running the show.
You're fleeing for your life. Yeah. You're also, and then you see this guy, he's game to help you. You're probably very grateful.
Oh, he was very game to help him. There's never been more game. And I mean, there's nobody else on the train platform, just me and him. The D train comes. Hello. This is what earned me the nickname D-Train for many years, which is why I stopped telling the story, because I was like, I do not want this nickname to follow me. So the D-Train comes. I'm like, oh, that's my train. I'm like, oh, that's my train, right? Full mouth, full of dick, right? Just throat full of dick. And he's like, no, you got to stay. And he like held, you know, kind of tried to hold me on his dick. And I was like, not today, bitch. And I don't know. I get off of him. I push him away from me. I run onto the train. Thank God he doesn't get on the train after me. I guess I make it home.
Yeah.
So that's that. That's that story.
Was this guy attractive?
Yeah, that's the point. No clue. Couldn't tell you. I remember his dick better than his face because I spent more time looking at that. That's how little I looked at this man. Like the time. I wish. Like I mean, I would never want to watch the video, but it would be interesting to find out exactly the timeline of me running in. Like it's gotta look crazy if there is video evidence of this, you know. There's probably like, they do take video, there's someone probably watching this somewhere.
Yeah.
Has a video of this fucking crazy girl runs down the stairs, meets a guy, immediately hugs him, starts sucking his dick. Anyone who watched that would have assumed this is like, we were meeting up at the platform.
Yeah, this was on purpose.
This was on purpose. He was my long lost lover. We're meeting on the D train platform, like it's some Sleepless in Seattle moment, but it's like way more disgusting.
Oh,
total stranger. God only knows what story he tells rest of his life. This girl comes in.
Well, I mean, he was probably thrilled. He's probably like, still got it.
This is, I mean, how many men have a story like this?
How many women have a story like this?
No, right, fair.
You're a gem, baby.
Right.
Okay?
So
you are also the star of this story.
Fuck. God damn. I mean, I think cocaine's the real star here, you know.
It is definitely the supporting cast.
Fuck. So I have to tell Tim this, of course. So Len last night, he's like, oh yeah, my guy's sucking dicks on a platform. He's like, like, just immediately I'm like, God, just ruthless. Ruthless man. Didn't care at all.
No.
I was like, that's funny. Okay. All right. What if I told you it was yesterday?
See, that's what's good about Tim, you know, for all of his.
Oh, he doesn't care.
No, he won't care.
Doesn't care.
Did you shower?
The first guy I ever fucked, I told I had herpes. What a gem. What a gem. Months after we were fucking, but still. Didn't care. What a sweetheart. Wasn't mad.
No.
What a gem.
I don't know if you can say you settled now. I think you got yourself.
No, he's perfect for me.
Yeah. Not to say that any of that is to be someone should be conceding. You
right.
Know
well,
I mean?
No, but there's a reason why I didn't tell anybody. I was like, this might go bad for me, and I'm selfish. And
I love that story.
the cocaine suck. The D train?
The D train. I mean,
not cute.
It's not cute, but you got away, okay? And you
used
all your feminine wiles to make sure that you had all the power.
The fucking reasoning. I gotta get away from this rapist. How do I do it? Suck a stranger's dick?
Well,
good idea.
You're hiding your face. That's what you're doing, Micah.
Like, this one's taken.
You missed out, creepy bathroom stall.
Yeah.
If only you played the heroin.
Bonnie's? Whose joke is that? Is that Bonnie's joke? I might miss fucking rep that joke, but like, I like to go jogging. When I go running in the morning, I go naked so that way they think another rapist is already after me. Is that Bonnie McFarlane?
Oh, that sounds like it would be.
She's so funny. If it's somebody else, somebody tell me, but it's a very funny joke.
Yeah. Oh, my God. But, yeah, that's, I mean, that is that circumstance. Seats taken.
Yeah, you know, whoever said I wasn't a genius, I don't, never heard that story.
You got away. That's what I've taken from this story.
I hope he did follow me into the train and saw it.
Yeah.
And was just like, what? How did I miss that?
What the hell happened?
Because I think the guy was like a big black dude too. And so like if I came in and was like, oh, I'm not going to, fight this black guy, for she was my victim,
Yeah. I love it. Not what I expected in either of the stories, but very.
No, these are, I told, they're dark.
Yeah.
It's dark when I've been invited onto the storytelling show Risk many times and I've never told those stories.
Really?
I probably should.
I mean, yeah, they're fantastic. And you're a very good storyteller.
Thank you.
Girl, make some money off of that D-Train.
Woof,
all right?
Woof. because it's like, I'm not proud of them. I don't wear these stories with honor.
Well, the thing is, that's what this is about. I have so many, not quite D-Train stories, but very shameful. Like, I can't believe I did that. Yeah. Oh, my God. And then I tell people and then it takes the sting out of it. And then it's like, oh, other people have similar stories. We're all just drunk idiots.
You got a similar
floating
story?
Through. not quite.
Yeah.
But I have been coerced into a three-way before.
Yeah.
And I was like, what am I doing here?
Right.
And some weird guy with a beard is going down on me. And I'm just like, I don't even like you.
I've never been in a three-way where I wasn't like, how do I get out of this?
Yes.
The beginning part is exciting. And then you're like, what?
Yeah, how did this happen?
I don't want that dick was just in her. ugh. Have you ever done the devils?
No, I've never done the devils. Have you done the devils?
No, what's the point?
I don't know.
I think now that I'm in my 40s, 30, I've made it sound like 40s. I'm not.
You look like you're in your 20s, so that's all that matters.
It's all that dick.
It's all that dick and coke.
Honestly, it's so bad because I am often told I look younger than I am, so I feel bad being like, I get it all the time, but I do, and I don't know what to say because I don't wash my face, I drink like a fucking monster, and I do shit tons of blow. So I don't, is it the font of youth?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's the font of youth.
I honestly think being a comedian keeps people so much younger. It just, even though it's so bad for you, not Artie Lang, but everyone else.
Yeah. Well, it's also in everything that we wear and how we carry ourselves.
Right. Yeah. No kids really doesn't help.
I mean,
hurt.
It's like literally in your 30s, like people are just sad because they have a job and a family that they don't probably aren't thrilled about. And then we're just like making jokes, having fun, going out.
Yeah. I think struggling keeps you young.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, we're all broke.
Right? You know how, like, babies' faces are like that so that someone will take care of them? Mm-hmm. There's something probably about, like, our impoverishedness that keeps us being like, help me. Look. That look like that you need help still.
Yeah. It was funny. Back to the threesome thing. My boyfriend, Steve.
Swell guy.
A swell guy. Very sweet.
Yeah.
he asked me. If I would ever, he was like, I would do that for you if you wanted, I would not like it. And I was like, honey, I do not like sucking dick that much.
That's cute. Sucking dick. Oh, yeah. No, yeah, like, so you can get it in both holes. That's the point.
Yeah, but I'm like, no, thank you. I don't need that, but you're very kind.
That is sweet. He's a sexual little guy, huh?
Oh, for sure.
The little ones are always like little are powerhouses. They're like little power dynamos of sex. But I'm surprised about the double fucking because they're usually insecure. They're like great in bed, but like a little insecure that the woman's going to leave them. That's my experience.
I think Steve has a big enough dick where it's like, he's like,
he doesn't
care
because I've had my share of little ones and they're very sexually explorative, very open-minded, but none of them have offered the double D.
No.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Steve. He was like, if you really wanted it, I would do it, but I wouldn't be thrilled, but I would do it.
Yeah. I think that would be a no from Tim for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think he wants, I don't think he's comfortable sharing me in any capacity. very just like, it's, he's not even macho. He's, it's just sort of like, ew. Like he would be like, ew. I think most of sex kind of disgusts Tim. I think he's disgusted by his own jizz. So
yeah.
Let alone, I can't imagine somebody else's. He comes and goes, ew. I swear to God.
That is
it's
hilarious.
Really romantic.
Yeah, I mean, what a sweet boy.
I know. He doesn't make me say it. It's cute.
That's good. Ew. Micah, you might be the funniest person on the planet. I love you so much.
I love you. I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
I'm hungover, which is my favorite.
Yeah.
I love being hungover. I do.
What's the weirdest thing you've done this quarantine with drinking? Have you done any like, because I find like I'm just bored. So I do like, I'll like start crafting or, but like even like just.
That's the weirdest thing. You're like, I knitted a mitten. You crazy girl. Wild.
But I just can't imagine, like, if that's mine, what's yours?
What did I do? I mean, what did I've been, like, this is, like, I'm very tame. Like, now that I have Tim, like, it really has calmed me down because mm-hmm. I'm not, like, on the hunt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't need to, like, do anything to impress anybody anymore.
Yeah.
So, what if I must have done something that's weird at this point. Like, what did I do? We went to the Poconos. I don't know.
Nice.
I moved in with Tim.
Yeah, that's pretty weird.
I must have done something crazy, but nothing's coming up.
Have you ever, because this is, when did you start doing stand-up comedy?
Oof. It is an embarrassment to admit, but 2005.
Why is that embarrassing?
Because it ages me, A. B, I think I should be farther along for how long I've been doing it. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't consistent at first, you know,
yeah.
I do like I did like 9 months and then I didn't do it for like a year and a half. And then I did it for like another 9 months and then mm-hmm. I didn't. Cause like I got a lot of opportunities right at the beginning because yeah. I was so young. Mm-hmm. Like I got, you know, a Comedy Central Live at Gotham audition 6 months in. Mm-hmm. Bonnie McFarlane, who I've referenced twice now. She's like my comedy queen. Mm-hmm. Like she was like so kind to me and took me under her wing. And she says she discovered me and like, mm-hmm. you know, so she like got me on a showcase where Comedy Central saw me. So like it built me up. And then obviously I didn't do well. And like I just wasn't good yet. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, I just was like, oh, I got rich. And I took it so personally mm-hmm. instead of being like, hey, that's really cool, keep going. It was yeah. more like shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, well, they say success early on is the hardest.
It was fine for Amy Schumer with. You know,
oh, I well, I
she
mean.
She did all right with it. What was she like, what, 2 years in when she got America's
last comic standing,
and you know, mm-hmm. the rest is history.
Yeah. Did you?
I knew her, which is why I was like, we started around the same time. So.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I'm like, no, it worked out. It can work out.
Yeah, but like,
she's very talented, but yeah.
Yeah, you're nothing to sneeze at. You know,
thank you.
Is that the right saying? Like, you're very good as well.
Thank
you. Like, you're very successful and doing great in comedy world.
In the world.
It counts, baby.
It does. You know, you're right. I should have disparaged my thriving career.
You're creating funny things.
Yeah.
And that is what the goal of a comedian is.
You're right. I gotta be, you know what? Isn't that the fucking worst part about stand-up? Is like, I'm like, unless I'm like known for stand-up, it's nothing. It's
yeah.
Worthless. Mm-hmm. And I think other people think that too. I had a job. So my job, like I had an opportunity to hire a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked a comedian, I'm not going to say
okay.
who, and I was like, hey, would you want to work for me writing? You know, it's a good job. You know, it's like a 6-figure job I'm putting on the
yeah.
table.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, what did she say? It was like, I would kill myself. That's what she said. She goes, I would kill myself.
What?
I'm like, oh, okay. So that's what people think of what I do. They would rather kill themselves than write for a corporation, Comedy Central.
Really? What was the writing job for? Like a TV show?
To do branded content. Like what I do branded content. So it's like, you know, it's advertising, but just with Comedy Central's, so only going on Comedy Central's thing. So like, you know, you're still being funny. You're like still working for the network and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah. you know, mostly you're writing funny commercials.
Yeah.
And she would rather kill herself.
What?
Yeah.
No. I mean, that seems ridiculous to me.
Right. And I know, but I know a lot.
Especially now.
But like, I know a lot of stand-up comics who like get writing packets and they're like, I don't want to do it. And I'm like, is it because you're not good at it? Or is it just because you just don't want to do anything but stand-up? There's this like, purist view.
Oh yeah, I've never had that. I've had two failed careers before this, so it's literally like, why not? Let's give it a try.
That's a move. Well, I couldn't make it doing something easier. So. Yeah.
It's like I tried to be a professional athlete, didn't work out. I tried to be a professional artist, didn't work out, and now I'm doing comedy. So it's literally like you can't hurt me.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? Soccer, right? And then
what am I going to stand on my high horse with?
You know when soccer's over, at least you know when that
when it's
time to give up. Art, you don't.
Mm-mm.
How did you decide you failed at art?
I didn't like doing it anymore. Like usually, like I went to college and I knew like 1 year in that I wasn't going to be an artist forever, and I'd already spent like $80,000.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And so it was like, well, I may as well get the degree.
Right,
I have 1 year left, so now I have a master's that I don't use, and I gave it a good college try.
You got a master's in it.
Uh-huh.
Your house was beautiful. Very.
Oh no! This is not me at all. This is Chloe Radcliffe. This is her family's house that we are renting on the cheap.
Right.
But things didn't work out for me in the art department.
Good for you.
But I gave it the honest try for. But mostly I just drank myself. I had a good time in my 20s in New York City and then found comedy, and that kind of strained me out a bit.
So that's so weird. Most comedians I know have always just kind of like been funny and trying to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting when you how did you get into comedy then? How'd you find it?
I literally just thought that I could do that. I didn't have stage fright, and I was always loud and obnoxious. And so I loved stand-up. I'm watching it all the time, and since high school I loved it.
Yeah.
And then I always thought
watching it.
And I always thought that in order to be a stand-up comic you had to like either go to theater school or writing school or something like that. For some reason in my head I was like, you have to start when you're 18.
Yeah.
And go down this path and everything leads to stand-up. And I was like, it's too late for me. And that kept me from not trying it for like at least a year.
Well, yeah, there's nothing in comedy out in comedy time.
Yeah,
I
ended up doing it. I didn't tell anyone for 6 months, and then until I was like, oh, I want to do this for a long time.
Yeah, great.
So, yeah, that's
awesome.
That's what happened with me.
So it was in your mind. You just didn't.
Oh yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I just thought I always thought I'd be a stand-up comedian. I loved stand-up. Mm-hmm. I was like always never shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? I truly didn't understand what it was until like years after I started doing it.
Yeah.
I was like, you have to write jokes. You have to plan what you're going to say ahead of time. I really was just, I didn't understand that people wrote their jokes ahead of time.
Same. The first time I did it, I didn't write. They were like, prepare 5 minutes. And I was like, I didn't write anything.
You
I was just riffing. I took a class. Yeah. I won a class. I won a free class. And that's why I took a class.
Wow. Whose class did you take?
Oh, Jeff Lawrence.
Ha ha. Did you learn a lot in there?
I learned where to put the mic stand. You betcha.
Will you teach me? I have no fucking clue. No idea. I watch videos of myself and I'm like, what is this mic work? I still, to this day, I've been doing this 15 years. And before I did stand up, I was a theater kid. I was a thespian. I was in a cappella groups. A cappella, you don't use a mic, but like I'm constantly, I have so much, you know, is in the improv thing all 4 years of college. I have the most stage time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Still can't put the mic in the fucking stand at the end of the set. cannot do it. Threading it in there, I'm just like, and I feel the dismount and nothing, because you want to go out on a thing. You have to like, I know you're supposed to put the mic in the stand before you finish the joke, so that way you can just fucking put your hand up, whatever you're going to do. Cannot close out a set to save my fucking life by putting it in the stand.
See, I put the mic in the stand at the very end.
After you've said your joke?
After I said my joke.
Oh, I think it's so awkward to do it, because then, okay, here's me, and I'm gonna do an audio cue, because I know this is a podcast, right? So, okay, here's me, or whatever. And that's why you're a pedophile. And then, right?
Clapping, clapping.
This is me, the sound of me putting the mic in the stand. Just like, trying to squish it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a first attempt at fucking, where you just like, oh nope, that's the ass. Like,
oh yeah. See, I say the joke, people are clapping, and then I do the awkward, and then the host comes up, and if I can't do it, I'll just like
hand it to the mic. Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Shit.
Here you go.
Yeah. I was like, I just whatever. Who cares?
Right.
Take it.
Follow
I'm
that.
Done. Oh, it's more like I'm done.
Yeah.
This is my time.
I love it.
You deal with this. Do you drink a lot on stage?
Have to. I've done it sober. You know, I'll do that sober month. I've done a sober month probably two or three times in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. After I started doing stand up, and it's fine, right? Mm-hmm. But I love, I need a drink before and one on the stage with me.
Really?
It's like a baby blanket. Almost every video I have, every clip I have has like a whiskey in my hand. It's not professional looking. I won't watch videos of myself. So like I can't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm not getting any better. And and I just, you know, but it does loosen me up. I think that's why the hangover vibe works so well, because there's like still that inhibition gone without, mm-hmm. with still the mental fuzziness.
Yeah.
But also sad, and I like
sad.
It's not sad, but just like everything sucks, and that's how I like it.
You know? You like a little bit of misery.
I feel justified in hating things, and it feels good to hate things when you're hungover, and that's one.
Have you ever embarrassed yourself in comedy?
No, never. Nothing embarrassing about the profession. Nothing embarrassing about being drunk with a microphone in your hand. How couldn't possibly go wrong. Are you insane? Are you fucking... What, have you never embarrassed yourself?
Well, I mean, like, I've never been, like... I have, but, like, only from me being awkward. Does that make sense?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, but never, like, alcohol-driven. Like, I've never, like, blacked out and done something crazy.
I don't black out. I just get really drunk and say crazy shit. It usually works out for me, because I think what my stand-up is missing in general is, like, confidence, and the alcohol gives it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it usually, even it, like, I'll forget a joke, but even then I'm like, well, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's the personality, mm-hmm. you know. So, but I've fallen off stages many times.
Please.
So many times.
When did you fall off a stage? Okay. And what stage?
The worst. Okay. Well, I have a scar I can show you from... Just right, one of my last show, the last show I did at the Stand before the pandemic.
Uh-huh.
Do you see this? I have like lines because of, but that scar right there.
Yeah, yeah. I see it. Little pink eye.
Yeah. Not pink eye, guys. pink eye. Like I said, we don't do butt stuff. I'll never get pink eye again.
Again.
So it's the Stand. You know what I mean? It's dark. The thing isn't lit right. And there's like one step down before you get off the stage. And for some reason... You know, and I had a pretty good set, right? It was fine. You know what I mean? I get off and I just fucking eat it. My ankle hits the thing. It was, there's nothing. Every time I fall off the stage, it's always at the end of my set too, which is the worst way to fall off the stage, because then you don't have the ability to have the mic in your hand and make them feel okay about it and make a joke about it and be like, I'm fine or whatever. And then, oh, fuck no. You can't do any of that. You're just done. So that's the last impression they have, is like, oh my God, is that girl okay? And you know, like, as a comic, the worst thing you can hear when you're saying something bad about yourself is when they go, aww.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck you. Oh, yeah. Fuck you. Mm-hmm. Pity has no place in comedy.
Yeah.
Pity is not fun. It's not funny. Mm.
If I had pity, I wouldn't be saying it on stage into a microphone.
Oh.
If that's what I wanted, get out of here.
No. Oh.
I'd tell it to Oprah.
Pity is the worst feeling in the world. It's, you know, so... So I felt the thing and like my ankle like swole up. It didn't seem that bad. Everyone was like, wow, that was so bad. Who did I do in front of two? There's like this great comic who was going on after me. And now I don't remember who it was. And I was just like, this is so fucking embarrassing to me. Who was it? It was, I'll think of it. Whatever. White guy, obviously. But like,
who's there all the time? Dan Soder.
No. Ari like old, more, no, like old school, like someone who like was like really like, fuck, I really wanted them to see my set kind of a thing.
Uh-huh.
Who, like, I don't have the opportunity to have them see my set. Ron Bennington.
Oh, yeah.
Bennington. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, thank God he's, like, such a sweetheart, you know, whatever. Like, but, like, I was like, God, that's embarrassing. You know what I mean? So, you know, anyway. And so so that was that time. But then I think the worst time I fell off the stage, and this is Woof City times 1,000, Caroline's, right?
No, that's high up.
It's high. Well, you've performed Caroline's, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no... back to the stage. The stage mm-hmm. doesn't connect to the back wall. Right? Yes. Okay. So do you see where the story's going? So okay, and let me set the stage. This is I don't even know if I can explain how bad this was. I was opening for my boyfriend. My boyfriend was doing a headlining set, which is already like, I was gonna say so embarrassing, but you do it all the time, so
Yeah.
But it is.
Fuck you.
But it is also sucks and nobody thinks you're any good because they think you're just there because
he's you're the girlfriend.
So,
yeah.
So basically every time you like you have to knock it out of the park or mm-hmm. you're just the girlfriend.
Yes.
And like it was I'll say his name. It was Mike Kaplan. He uh-huh. this was like.
You dated Mike Kaplan?
For 3 years.
I mean, both beautiful people, but
so, could
how
not be
do
more
those
different.
Two?
Could not be. You want to know what they both, what Tim and Mike have in common? A, I think they're both very funny, mm-hmm. even though in entirely yes. different ways.
Yes.
But they're also both like very like chill and open-minded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Tim is not open-minded in the same, they're not in the same way open-minded.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's whatever. So I'm opening for Mike. Which is already like so embarrassing, right? And the host was an ex-boyfriend of mine. I'm not going to say who. So
I will ask later.
You can ask later. So okay. So it's only wait. He was yeah. So it's only 3 people on the show: host, opener, headliner. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's 2 of my exes and me. Right. host does a great job. Whatever. I go up, bomb. Bomb so hard,
oh,
so
no.
embarrassing. So now I've got my ex and my current watching me bomb, feeling bad for me. I'm like, this is like, it's the most nepotism type bullshit. I'm like, mm-hmm. I feel so bad. You know what I mean? Like, I just bomb. So I get to the end of my set and it's like sweating bullets. So embarrassing uh-huh. for me. And I'm just like, well, I guess that's the best this set's going to go. And I jam the mic in the stand and immediately take a step back off the stage and fall. That's the best this is going to go. Crash.
Oh, my God. My God.
So embarrassing. The most embarrassing thing.
Did they laugh?
No. No, they didn't laugh. No one has ever laughed when I've fallen off the stage because people pity. They feel bad. Because also, I fall hard. You know, I'm not falling daintily. You know, I'm taking strong. I'm a stomper. So like when I misstep, it's like catastrophic. So I just like plummet. You know, it's like a tumble back. You know, I probably hit the back wall and met, like ping. You know, pinball.
Pinball.
Thank you. I'm pinballing around Caroline's, which actually Caroline's does look like a fucking horrible pinball game. So,
yeah.
So right. It was pretty appropriate. So then everyone's just like, oh, like, cause they were already feeling bad for me. Cause it's like one of those sets where I'm doing bad and people felt bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're like, oh, this poor girl, which is like, I would rather bomb and have people be angry about it than feel pity.
Yes.
Pity, first thing.
Yeah. I'd rather offend you mercilessly than to make you feel bad.
So
for me.
I fall off and I take the mic again. I'm all right. Everyone stop. I didn't have the gravitas of having had made them laugh to pull that off either. I just looked like a fucking crazy person. And the best part about that is because it was like Caroline's and I was like, had a feature set, like I had my friend tape it. So I've got that on tape.
Oh,
I have never watched it, but it is on a thumb drive in my apartment. It's made 7 moves by now. 6-8 moves probably.
Oh, you got to watch it. Oh, just
God.
Isolate that back part.
Woof. I gotta watch it. I'll play it. You can play it at my funeral on a loop. just fucking enjoy. Just play my funeral. I want that on my fucking tombstone, you know. They'll probably have gifts on tombstones soon.
Yeah, for sure. That one just falling off. I'm okay.
This is the best it's gonna get. Crash.
Micah, I love you so much.
Oh, thank you. I love you
too. I mean,
too.
What
a
way
time.
To go out. Look at this. Oh, yeah. We're perfect.
Did we do it?
Yeah, we did it. Plug your shit, girl.
Well, you can see me at parks across the city.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If you guys are in the McCarran Park area. but, follow me on social for right now. That's where you... it's my name at all the social, Twitter and Instagram. I don't do Facebook. Don't follow me there anymore. At Micah Fox, MykaFox.
Foxy lady.
Mm-hmm.
Girl.
And follow Timmy, too, because
sweet
he's a funny
Tim.
Guy.
Yeah, sweet
at
Tim.
At hotcomic_69 on Instagram.
Jesus Christ.
I know. What a real turd piece of
he's
shit.
He's really lucky to have you.
I mean, yes. Yeah, he really... That's what everybody says. No one says that to me about him, though. Well, I think I'm lucky. I love him.
Well, then that's all that matters.
Yeah.
You did it.
But if there's, like, rich guys out there, like, you shouldn't be feel like you can't take a stick a stab at it.
Abbott, what?
You know, ask me out. Ask me out.
Oh,
you know,
I mean, see.
I have thirst picks up on Instagram. Listen. You know, I love Tim, but don't be discouraged. Yeah. You know, shoot your shot.
Make a girl feel good. James, if you're out there,
James,
shoot your
shot.
Oh, my
God, James. He was wearing, like, I don't know, like, what, a Kangol hat? Or oh, what a fucking... He had the strong jawline. I think he was bi. He was probably not meant to be. He's probably gay by now.
He made it. All right. I got to end this.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. Do you guys still remember my plug at MYKFOX? All right, I'm done.
I love you. All right. Thanks for doing it.